You're listening to the teaching ministry of Michael Williams, pastor of International Outreach Church, located in Wills Point, Texas. Get ready to be challenged, charged, and changed by the Word of God which you're about to receive.
Turn with me to Colossians, the third chapter, Galatians, Ephesians, Philippians, and Colossians. You know, a good acronym for Galatians, Ephesians, Philippians, Colossians is Gentiles Eat Pork Chops. Just a good way to remember that, you know. Or go eat popcorn. Yeah, that's a good one. Go eat popcorn. I like that one. Yeah. Okay. Seeing as how that went over so big, we've been teaching on the name of Jesus. Amen. Been teaching on the authority in the name of Jesus. We've been teaching on, we've taught on praying in the name of Jesus, all the different aspects of that name, baptizing in that name, how that we're saved by calling on that name. And you know, it's just the book of Acts, the name of Jesus in the book of Acts. We spent 2 weeks, I think, on that. Actually, last week we talked about that, what we were teaching on, but we went all through the book of Acts. I'll get to the book of Acts again tonight, most likely. But tonight I want to teach on concerning this name out of the third chapter, 16th verse, where it says, the 17th verse, where it says, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus. So we're going to talk about that, doing everything we do in the name of Jesus. Amen. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. So that would probably change some things we do if we thought about everything we did and decided that we would do it in Jesus' name. It probably changed some things we said if everything we said, we always put on the end of it in Jesus' name. Or maybe it wouldn't change anything. Maybe you're just okay. In which case, just bear with us. I'm teaching to everybody else. But if I tack that on in everything I said and tack that on in everything I did, you know, I'd probably want to back up a little bit here and change what I said and did. Because the Bible says do all in the name of Jesus. So there's some things you just can't do in Jesus' name. Hello? There's some things you really can't pray or say in Jesus' name. You can't just hate somebody in Jesus' name. That'd be impossible. You can do it, but you can't do it in Jesus' name. Hello? Because that's calling on the authority of heaven. And really, the truth be known, you don't need the authority of heaven or God Himself to help you hate somebody. You can do that all by yourself. You need the authority of heaven, and you need God to help you do things you can't do by yourself, like love people and forgive people. You can forgive them in Jesus' name. You can love them in Jesus' name. Amen. But if you want to go out and hate somebody and just be bitter and mad about things, well, you know, you're going to have to do that all on your own. And you can do a pretty good job by yourself. In fact, we do a great job of that by ourselves. We actually don't need any help to do that. We've been doing that for a long time and doing a great job. But now, to do what God wants us to do, we're going to have His help. And that's why we pray and that's why we say in Jesus' name. I will do this in Jesus' name. I forgive you in the name of Jesus. Are you with me? And it comes on down to praying for people to be healed, praying to be saved. You can't be saved without calling on the name of Jesus. Whosoever calls upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Isn't that right? Romans 10:9 says, if you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus, that's there's a confession of your mouth saying Jesus. Confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus. Believe in your heart God raised Him from the dead, you shall be saved. For with the heart man believes unto righteousness, with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. That 10th verse. The 13th verse that Romans 10th chapter I just quoted says, whosoever calls upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. See, salvation does not come on your own. You must have Him to save you. So we would only call on Him or only use His name in areas that we need His help in. Isn't that correct? And to serve Him, we need His help. And to love, we need His help. To be a witness, we need His help. To see signs, wonders, and miracles, we definitely need His help. We can't do that by ourselves. But if you don't intend on doing any of that, then you wouldn't need to use the name. Get quiet in this Presbyterian church. God bless the Presbyterians. We're not against Presbyterians. But notice what it says here. In fact, there's an interesting connection, I think, between these two verses, 16th and 17th verses. Let's read the 16th verse. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly. Woo, hallelujah. Everybody needs the word, amen? In fact, we need the word of Christ. We don't need the word of CNN, the word of Fox News. The word, you know, I'm not comparing those channels. I think there's a vast difference between the Clinton News Network and Fox News, but that's another story altogether. But anyway, it doesn't matter which one you listen to. Neither one of them really going to get you a miracle or get you saved. Hello. So, let the Word of Christ dwell in you. That's what we need dwelling in us. See, the problem with most of us, we have so much of the world dwelling in us and the Word of the world dwelling in us that it's hard to believe God because it's not richly dwelling in us. It's kind of thrown in there with a bunch of other stuff. It's like trying to raise watermelons and going out there and just throwing a bunch of weeds in there with your watermelons and just mixing it all up and just hoping something happens. Woohoo! Okay. So something ought to overcome everything else. Something ought to be there in abundance. And so he's saying, here, let the word of Christ dwell in you richly, in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. Hallelujah. This is what we ought to be doing, talking to one another and encouraging one another and admonishing another with what? With the word of Christ. Because there is encouragement in the word. Yeah, but I just lost my job. Well, let me tell you, God loves you and He's for you. And if you make Him your shepherd, if the Lord your shepherd, you'll not want. He'll make a way where there is no way. In fact, He said He'd supply your need according to His riches and glory by Christ Jesus. And He's not contingent. He's not dependent on the economy. He supplies our need according to His riches and glory. And He doesn't go bankrupt. And He doesn't need a bailout. And He doesn't need a stimulus package. And His economy never goes down. His stock never dives. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. He's the Lord God. He changes not. Cheer up. Hallelujah. See, you encourage yourself and admonish one another with the word of Christ. And that you have to have it in you richly to be able to do that. In fact, what's in you richly is what's coming out is what you put in.
That's right.
What comes out richly is what you put in richly. Isn't that right?
Yes.
And he even takes it on into singing. Now singing, you say, well, I'm not much on singing. Oh, you sing those little ditties you hear on TV? Hello. Oh yeah, you watch enough commercials, it just gets in you. You can finish the jingle. I mean, they make billions of dollars on advertising because they know your brain picks up those little jingles, whatever they are. Whether it's insurance company jingles or whether it's furniture company jingles or, you know, my brain went blank because I'm thinking of the word here. I was thinking of different ones, some old ones, you know, Chevrolet, the Heartbeat of America. You know, it gets in your head, you can't get it out, and Ford Tough and all that stuff, and I'm a Ford truck man. Before long, it's just coming out. You see a Ford, and it just starts coming out because you've got that in you richly because you've heard those commercials over and over and over and over. Hello. But if you heard the word over and over and over, and you've been singing and worshiping God over and over and over, you know what would just come out of you richly? Man, the word would come out of you. Songs would come out of you. Because whatever you have in you is what's going to come out of you. That takes discipline. That takes time. That takes focus. Don't beat yourself over the head because you're still singing about being a Ford truck man. Or Chevrolet, the Heartbeat of America, whatever, you know. But start replacing all that and putting the word in you. And then he says this. He says in Psalms, admonishing one another in Psalms. Of course, that's out of the Bible. Psalms, hymns, those are songs that we make up, you know, that are scriptural songs. We've been singing those tonight. And it says spiritual songs. I believe that's praying in other tongues or singing in other tongues. That's different than just hymns that we write. And it's different than Psalms that are in the Bible. So it's a spiritual thing. Singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. Then he says, and whatever you do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through Him. Well, see, it'd be impossible to do everything you do in word or deed in the name of Jesus if you weren't filled richly with His Word. Isn't that correct? Because a lot of things we do, we really couldn't put in Jesus' name on. Just couldn't do it. Man, I'd like to smack him right upside the head. In Jesus' name? What? You couldn't do that in Jesus' name. So, hello? So you need to back up here a little bit, big boy. And examine what you're saying and doing, because if you can't do it in Jesus' name, you don't need to be doing it. I just hate that word, in Jesus' name. Well, no, you couldn't do that, so you can't do that. In fact, you can't do one without the other here. You can't live in Jesus' name and do and say things in Jesus' name if you don't have the Word of Christ in you richly. That's understood. I mean, that's just a given. If it's not in you richly, then you're not going to be able to attack in Jesus' name on the end of things when you say them or do them. Hallelujah. And also, what you see there is that once you do get the Word in you, you should, by the authority of Jesus' name, do it and say it. Isn't that right? Because if the Bible says that by His stripes you were healed and you got that in you richly, then in Jesus' name, I am healed. Because Jesus' name is the authority that we place on the Scripture. It gives us authority to use the Scripture. It is because we are born again and know Jesus that we can now say in Jesus' name, thus says the Lord. In Jesus' name, this promise is mine. Hello. And I think a lot of times we're reading the Scripture, maybe we believe it to a degree, but we hadn't take that authoritative step and done it and said it in Jesus' name. I don't know if you're getting it. I'm saying something powerful here if you'll get a hold of it. I think a lot of times we missed it here because we believe the Bible in general, but not a lot of it we're really taking to heart and taking the authority that God's given us in Jesus' name to do it and say it and pray it. Hallelujah. So He wasn't saying just do the Word. He was saying do it in Jesus' name. In fact, this really, you'll see, Paul even did this. When he would talk to some of the churches, he would say something to them that he wanted them to do scripturally, biblically. He found out what the Word said, way to live, way to act. And he would tell them, I command you in Jesus' name, do this. That's pretty powerful. I mean, he did it about three different occasions there. I can find where he did that. In 1 Corinthians, he did that. He told them to speak the same thing. He said, I beseech you, I admonish you, in the name of Jesus, when you gather together, to speak the same thing. Now, how can He put Jesus' name on that? Because that's the will of God. God wants us in unity. He wants us to live loving each other, not at each other's throats, nagging and tearing each other up. So He just took a step as an apostle, as a minister, as a leader there that established that church in Corinth, and He said, in Jesus' name, quit that bickering. In the name, I admonish you in the name of Jesus, speak the same thing. Be of like mind. Wow. Now He could have just easily said, hey, y'all just quit bickering and let's be of like mind here. But He put some authority on it. I mean, you take it to another level when you do that. Yeah, the Bible says this, thus, and so. Yeah, but when you say in Jesus' name, you're taking it to another level. You're owning it. You're owning it. I own this. This is to me. This is a word to me. This is my promise. Hallelujah. And the authority in Jesus' name, by the authority invested in Jesus' name, I claim it. And I declare it. Amen. Let the Word of Christ dwell in you richly with all wisdom. Admonishing one another in psalms and hymns, spiritual songs. Singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. And whatever you do, in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus. Now, I remember another case, instance, the fifth chapter of 1 Corinthians, where Paul was rebuking the church at Corinth concerning the first chapter is where he says, speak the same thing. I think it's around the 10th verse. The fifth chapter is where he got on to the church at Corinth because they had a guy in there living in sin. They had a guy that actually was living with his father's wife. I'd make this up. This is in the Bible. Sin's not something new. Just didn't come up here in the 21st century. It's been around a long time. But what was wrong was they were just not saying anything about it. You know, God forbid the church doesn't stand up and speak out against sin. Now, we don't hate people. We're not supposed to beat people over the head. And I believe there's hope for everybody that's ever sinned. And we're not going to go through a list on your life. Goodness, we got no stones to throw. Every one of us have been in sin, lived in sin, and got out of sin, and messed up, and got forgiven. And, you know, thank God for forgiveness. But you cannot fool God, and you can't fool the world. If you're going to live in sin and you're not going to repent of your sin, you really don't need to be coming to church. That went over real big. But if you want to come out of your sin and you want some help overcoming your sin, come on. I don't care what you've done. I don't care where you've been. But we're going to speak up against sin. And really, we have to. We have no choice. We're the church of God. We stand for something. If we don't stand for something, we'll fall for everything. We're the last hope this world has for morality's sake. Are you kidding? The church is the last hope the world's got. I believe it's a good hope. I believe it's a great hope. But I believe ministers have to stand up and speak up for what is right. In love. Not hatefully, but in love. So, for instance, if you were coming to church and you know, and you were living in sin and you would not repent of your sin, I'd have to talk to you about it. I'd have to say, look, you know, I wouldn't make a big scene. I wouldn't announce it in public. But I'd talk to you all aside and say, look, you need to straighten this out. You need to get this right. I'll work with you. I'll help you. But you can't keep coming here if you're going to continue to live in this sin and you're not going to repent and you think it's okay. Amen. Sure is quiet in here. I got one amen from the elder. Are you with me? And why would I do that? I do that because I love you. Because sin will tear you up and it'll ruin your life. And I do it because I know you can overcome it. Because I know you can come out of it. Because I know you can live a better life. I do that because God loves you so much that sure, He accepts you where you are, but He does not leave you where you are. He wants you to come out of your sin. And see, that's what was happening here in 1 Corinthians. There was this man living with his father's wife and nobody was saying anything about it. And so Paul said, he said, I command you in Jesus' name that you turn this man over to Satan for the destruction of the flesh. In other words, take him out of the church. Do not fellowship with him. Tell him he's not welcome here until he repents. Now here's the good news. He did repent. And when Paul wrote the second letter of 2 Corinthians, he had repented, he had gotten right, he was back in church, and he commended them for that. So there is restoration. But I think it's interesting. He didn't just say, look, y'all, you know, you got to do something about this. This is not right. You can't have sin in the church. We're not the world. Maybe you hadn't figured that out, but we're not. Now, if you've been in the world and you've been in sin, hey, come on, man, we'll help you. Listen, I used to be on drugs and jails, and I lived a wild lifestyle, but I got saved. I got born again, and God forgave me. God restored me. And we could just go through the list of people here, and I'm not going to do it. You would be amazed at the lifestyles people had before they met Christ or before they were born again. So we're not condemning anybody. That's not the point. But the point is we can't, as Christians, condone sin. And we can't continue to live in it because the world's needing you and me to come out of it so they can see the light of Jesus Christ and have the hope of Christ that we have. And I'm here to tell you that if you've been in drugs, you can come out of it. Hallelujah. I'm here to tell you if you've been in and out of jail, you can come out. Hallelujah. I'm here to tell you if you've got no education, God can still use you. You can still be a minister. I never graduated from high school. I'm not saying go quit. I'm just saying if that's... twist what I'm saying here. I'm just saying if you're that state, you've gone through a rough life, well, God doesn't care if you'll come to Him. I'll tell you, He'll change your life and give you a whole new life. Amen. But I think it's fascinating that He said here, He didn't just say, hey, you know, just get this guy out of the church until he gets right. You can't have him in there. You can't just let him continue to live that way in front of everybody. And the whole church is condoning it. He says, in the name of Jesus. Wow. That's pretty strong. See, he was putting the authority of heaven on it. And he could because he knew what the Word said about it. That's right. Amen? He knew exactly what the Word said about that. He even said that later in 1 Thessalonians, when he was talking about a man that wouldn't work. Well, this gets down to the rubber meets the road here. He didn't say a man didn't have a job, but a man wouldn't work. You may be out of a job. He's not talking to you. He's talking about those that don't work. And he said, I beseech you in the name of Jesus, withdraw yourself from that man. Hello. So what am I saying here? I'm not talking about discipline. That's not what I'm talking about. The point I'm making here is that when you know what the Word says, you can take the authority of Jesus' name and speak that word. That's it. And that's the only thing you can speak with the authority of Jesus' name. It's God's word. And it does take it to another level when you do that. Turn over to Acts 3. Turn to Acts 3. Oh, you'll love this. Okay, I quit beating on you. Now we'll get some miracles here. No, that's good stuff. Amen? Amen. We need to hear that. I mean, surely we stand for something around here. My goodness. I mean, what's the difference in church and the world? If you just live any way you want to and come in and we say we believe in Jesus, well, goodness gracious, the world can't tell one bit of difference with us and them. You know, why would they need Jesus? We're not living any different. They're living. They're going to live the same way. We're going to live the same way. We're all living the same way. Who needs Jesus? But the good thing about Jesus is he delivers us from that stuff. That's the good news, is he doesn't just deliver us from the consequences or penalties of our sin. He delivers us from our sin. Amen. Woohoo! I'm not just free from hell because of sin. God delivered me from hell. He delivered me from my sin. Glory to God. Hallelujah. I'm sorry to tell you that God delivered you, but he did. I know it's bad news. It's hard to swallow sometimes that he really set us free, but he did. What did I tell you to turn to? X3? I think this is fascinating. This is about healing or miracles. I think in some cases we're a little too mamby-pamby about these things. You know what mamby-pamby is? Okay. Well, if you don't, go get your dictionary, look it up. This story, you know this story, and I don't spend a lot of time on it, but I want to bring out a point here. Third chapter, first verse. Now Peter and John went up together to the temple at the hour of prayer, the ninth hour. And a certain man lame from his mother's womb was carried, whom they laid daily at the gate of the temple, which is called Beautiful, to ask alms from those who entered the temple. Who seeing Peter and John about to go into the temple, asked for alms. And fixing his eyes on him with John, Peter said, "Look on us." So he gave them his attention, expecting to receive something from them. Then Peter said, "Silver and gold have I none, but what I do have I give to you. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise and walk." And he took him by the right hand, lifted him up, and immediately his feet and ankle bones received strength. So he, leaping up, stood up, walked, and entered the temple with them, walking, leaping, and praising God. Hallelujah, somebody.
Amen.
Wow. That's just awesome, isn't it? But isn't it interesting here that he didn't... I think we often make this mistake with people. I believe in praying for the sick, don't get me wrong, because there's times for that. People call you on the phone, we're praying. But I think in most cases, if you go through the Scripture, they didn't pray for the sick. They told them to be healed in Jesus' name.
That's right. Come on. That's right.
With the authority of the name of Jesus, they said, be healed. Why? Because that's his will. They knew what God's will was.
Yes.
Because they had his word. So they just took the next step. They went to the next level, took the word, and put the name on the word.
That's good.
Now, when somebody comes up to you to pray with them, they're wanting you to do that. I mean, that's what they're wanting. They're wanting the will of God in their life. If you as a minister or you as a friend or someone that's praying for someone, you know what God's will is, then just take it and say, well, in Jesus' name, be healed.
That's right.
Be healed.
That's right. That's right.
That's what the word says. It says, pray one for another that you may be healed. See, Peter didn't say, now this is what we do, but this is not in Scripture. I don't know if you're ready for this. Are you ready for this?
Yeah.
And we often do this, but this is not in the Scripture. We'll say, Father, we ask that you heal this person in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. We'll say in Jesus' name. But we'll say, Father, I ask that you heal this person in Jesus' name. And I've done it too. Now stay with me. We've probably all done it. So nobody's beating anybody on the head here. I'm just saying, where does that come from? Did Peter said, Father, I ask that you heal this man in Jesus' name? He knew what the word said, and he put the name of Jesus on it. Whatever you do in word, deed, do all the name of Jesus. You say, well, should we not ask people? Well, I think when people call, you're not there. We're talking. We're praying for some of this. We know we're praying. God, open up their eyes and let your healing power come upon them. Sure, I understand that. But you and I are standing right here. We both believe in healing. We know what the word says. We're praying for each other. What are we saying when we pray for each other? Well, the only thing I know to do is go into Scripture and find out how they did in the Scripture. And in the Scripture it says, he looked at them and he said, in the name of Jesus, rise and walk. Now, that's okay. Now, you say, well, I just say, Father, you heal him. Well, actually, he's already done that. He's given you the authority now to go do it. Isn't that right? Isn't that what it says? Oh, so, now, before you get all upset, don't get upset with me. Now, let's just start thinking about the Scripture and start going through the Scripture. What about the disciples? What about when Jesus sent out the 70, when he sent out the 12? What did they do? Did they pray that someone be healed in Jesus' name? That's not what it says. In fact, they even returned to Jesus. Luke 10. Turn there. Luke 10. Yeah. Hallelujah. I know this may just blow you away. You're thinking, my Lord, what are you talking about? I hadn't said anything that's not in Scripture. I think this is why we don't see a lot of miracles. I think this is why we don't always have a lot of manifestations. As I said before, and you can get your dictionary, I think we're too mamby-pamby about it. Now, I'm not God. You're not God. That's not what we're saying. You're never going to be God, and I'm never going to be God. That's not it. And when someone gets healed or a miracle does happen or you get an answer to prayer, you know what? He gets the glory. But let's face it. He put us down here, and he's the one that gave us authority. And we're asking, it's almost like, Brent and I were talking about this today. I thought this was so good. We're almost like giving God, permission to use his authority. Father, in the name of Jesus, come on. And God said, no, in the name of Jesus, you go. We're trying to give God authority, and God's gave us authority. We're trying to get God to do something when God told us to do it. If I'm wrong, go look, you know, just examine what you're talking about and go through the Scripture. What does it say over and over? Jesus said in Mark 16 chapter, he said, these signs shall follow them that believe. In my name, they shall. He didn't say, in my name, God will. In my name, they shall lay hands on the sick and they shall. In my name, they shall cast out devils. Isn't that correct? Just chew on it. Think about it. See, we're just looking in the Scripture and seeing, and hey, nobody's upset. You say, well, I don't believe that. That's fine. I still love you. And you've got to love me. We got to love each other. But I just think we need to stop and examine what it is that we believe and why. How do we pray? And are we really doing it the way God says to do it? Are we really doing it the way the disciples did it, the book of Acts that it's done there? We don't have just Jesus. We also have the disciples doing it. Jesus would just command things to happen. The disciples would just go, command things to happen in Jesus' name. They would just say, do this in Jesus' name. Be healed in Jesus' name. Rise and walk in Jesus' name. Come out in Jesus' name. Whew. Okay. Luke 10, notice this. The disciples came back. And so we've gone over some of these verses. I think it's fascinating. Here it says in the 17th verse, Luke 10, then the 70, everybody say 70. This always gets me because, you know, you hear that, well, the 12 disciples had that kind of power, you know, and they died. And I could see them all lined up when John was about to die. He was the last one to die, you know. And a whole line of people trying to get healed, and John finally kicks the bucket, and that's it. Last one got healed. The rest of them had to go home. No more miracles because the last apostle died. As if there was this day of miracles. No, there's just a God of miracles, and he's the same. Never changed. And actually, there were a lot of people that did miracles that weren't just the 12. Even before Jesus rose from the dead. That he authorized. In fact, Luke 10, he authorized 70 to go out. And it says here they returned, the 17th verse, then the 70 returned with joy, saying, Lord, even the demons are subject to us in your name. So obviously they cast some devils out. Now, I'm thinking of people I would like to cast some devils out right now. Not in the church yet. But obviously these people were possessed. There was a manifestation. You know, there people can be demon possessed, but you know, good news, hey, in Jesus' name, you can cast out a devil. Notice what it says. The devils are subject to you through your name. Is that what they said? No, wait a minute. You weren't listening. They came back to Jesus and they said, Jesus, the devils are subject to you through your name. They said they're subject to us through your name. Isn't that right? They didn't say, oh, Jesus is so wonderful because when we use your name, the devils are subject to you. No, the devils are subject to us when we use your name. Is that what your Bible says? Did it say that? It says, They rejoiced. Oh, hallelujah. Y'all are not excited as I am about this. This is good stuff. 17th verse, look at it again. The 70 returned with joy, saying, Lord, even the demons are subject to us in your name. And Jesus went on to say, I saw Satan fall like lightning from heaven. Behold, I give you authority to trample on serpents and scorpions over all the power of the enemy. Nothing shall be able to hurt you. Nevertheless, do not rejoice in this, that the spirits are subject to you, but rather rejoice because your names are written in heaven. That's the greatest thing. We're saved. Thank God for authority. But I know the best thing that ever happened to me is when I accepted Jesus. Amen. But along with that is the fact that I do have authority in Jesus' name. And according to Jesus' own words, he said the devils were subject to me also. Not just to him. Can you imagine casting a devil out, or in the Bible where they did it, and they did it several times? Jesus did it. The disciples did it. Obviously, 70 did it because they came back and talked about it. In the book of Acts, Paul cast the devil out of a woman possessed with the spirit of divination. Can you imagine going up to someone possessed with the devil, and just as an analogy, honey, nothing to do with you personally, okay? Okay. And I were to say, in the name of Jesus, God cast that devil out. Did they do that? I pray in Jesus' name, God, that you drive that devil out.
No.
That wasn't the way it happened. In fact, we have got examples in the Bible of where it did happen and how it happened and what they said.
That's right.
Yeah.
That's right.
Acts 16. Acts 16 chapter. Hallelujah. Woohoo. That is where I want to go, isn't it? That woman with the spirit of divination. Acts 16, followed Paul around for 3 days before he turned to the Spirit. Yes, okay. Acts 16, so I don't have notes here. I'm just going by memory, and memory can be a deceptive thing. But I got this one right. I should have known that I had it right. It says a girl followed Paul around. 17th verse, 16th chapter, 16, 17th verse. This girl followed Paul and us and cried out, saying, these men are servants of the Most High God who proclaim to us the way of salvation. This woman had a religious spirit. I mean, she sounded pretty religious, but she was obnoxious. She was interrupting what they were doing. She was stopping the flow of God, drawing attention to herself. And it says here, it says these, and she was saying good things, it seemed like, but she was stopping the flow, killing the flow, and it went on and on and on, and she just wouldn't stop. She was possessed with this thing. And says, this she did for many days, but Paul, greatly annoyed, turned and said to the Spirit, I command you in the name of Jesus Christ. God cast this out of her. Didn't say it that way. I command, he was talking to the Spirit, and he said, I command you in the name of Jesus, come out of her. And he came out of her, because that's what they do, in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. And he didn't pray. Wow. Oh, wait a minute. Whoa, no, wait a minute. Wait a minute. Wait a minute. Aren't we supposed to pray that devil out? When all the Bible says in my name, you'll cast him out. You cast him out. And I think sometimes we even make that mistake with sickness and disease. Now, you're not going to run across a lot of people demon possessed. It's pretty obvious when they are. I mean, they cry out in voices. I've run across people that demon possessed, and I've been watching y'all pretty close. You look okay to me. I mean, it's not that, you know. Generally, they'll cry out and holler and scream and do all kinds of stuff and talk in weird voices, and, you know, that's pretty obvious. So, in fact, I was preaching at Salvation Army in Houston one time, and one guy came up, and I was praying for him, and he used to preach at Salvation Army in prisons. That's how I started preaching. And open door missions where they'd bring in the drunks and the derelicts and they'd feed them and they'd have to hear a message, you know. Salvation Army has a great program. You have to hear preaching before you can eat. The kitchen is actually behind the pulpit. You have to go through a door and that's you have to hear good preaching. And we give an altar call, you know, and I used to do that in Houston. I just loved doing that. I was a young buck, man. I just couldn't wait, you know. And so I was ministering and we had some people come up front, a couple of guys. And I was praying for this one guy and he was... It was the funniest thing, looking back on it. Anyway, I was talking to him, praying for him to accept Jesus as Lord and Savior. And he was just as nice. And he said, "Oh, God, I need to be saved. I just need to be saved." My daddy doesn't like me. I mean, just his voice changed and everything. Just completely changed. And God's my witness, he said. He says, "I love Johnny Cash." I'm thinking, boy, this guy is nuts. What is wrong with this guy? And he would go back and he'd start crying again. And he'd say, "Oh, God, would you please help me? I need some help." And then he'd look up and he'd say something real weird in this voice, you know, glassed eyes. And I thought, man, you know what? Devil. This is it. This is demon casting out time. You know, and I knew, right? I knew this guy had a devil. I knew it. You just know. You're not wondering. You don't have to wonder if somebody has a devil. It's obvious. Okay? A lot of people come and say, "You think I have a demon? I bite my fingers all the time. I wonder if I have a fingernail biting demon." No, you just need to quit that. Put some hot sauce on them or something. You know, you don't have a... Come on, man. I mean, people go too far with these things, but there are legitimate demons, you know. So anyway, I told him when he came back again, started crying again, and his voice would change and everything. You could tell he was oppressed and possessed by this thing. He couldn't. He'd kind of come in and out, you know. And I said, "Man, let me tell you something. You got a demon, and I'm going to cast that thing out of you." And he said, "Please." I mean, he was wanting me to help him. And so I grabbed him, and I said, "In Jesus' name, you foul demon, come out of him in Jesus' name." Uh-huh. And I mean, he held my wrist. Man, he squeezed my wrist and my hands very strongly. But now, you don't have to be afraid of a demon, okay? That's movie stuff, okay, where the priest always gets beat up by the devil. Come on. No, in reality, it's the other way around. In Jesus' name, you can run the devil off. Well, he screamed a time or two, you know, and I wouldn't let go. I just said, "You come out of him, lying devil, in Jesus' name, you come out of him." And it was at the end of the service, and I was getting pretty loud. And they have a thing where everybody goes out, you know, and goes and eat. And it was just him and me there. Another minister standing over praying, you know, let me do all the dirty work, holding the guy. And here comes the guy that kind of manages the kitchen. He comes in the back door. They come in to check, see who's there, you know. Because you could hear something going on. He walked in the door. And about the time he walked in, I mean, I hollered real loud, "Jesus' name, you lying devil, come out of him in Jesus' name." I looked back and I saw that go over the shoulder of this guy. I looked at him and he went through that door and he went right back out the door. But story has a good ending. The guy got completely set free. His whole countenance changed. He cried. You could see the joy on his face. He was delivered and set free. Now, how did that happen? Because I just asked that something would happen. No, I was there. I was a minister. I was a believer. You're a believer. I was his hope right there. Now, of course, Jesus is his deliverer through me. That's why I was there to help him. It wasn't time to ask God to do something. It was time for me to do what God authorized me to do, authorized you to do, and us to do. It was time to do something commanding in Jesus' name. Yes. And I think sometimes we live way too below our rights and privileges as Christians. We put up with way too much from the devil and sin and everything else because we don't stand and we don't get the word and we don't say, "In the name of Jesus." Yeah. That's as far as you're going to go, devil. That's enough.
Yeah. That's it.
Hallelujah. Stir me up. That's what he did. He said in the name of Jesus. And that's what Jesus said to do in Mark the 16th chapter concerning demons. But also he said lay hands on the sick and do that. You know, it's over and over. Jesus never, he didn't pray for people to be healed. He just commanded them to be healed. He'd often ask them if they could believe. He said, "Do you believe I'm able to do this?" And if they said yes, he said, "Okay, be healed." He didn't say, "I pray God that you'll heal them." He said, "Be healed." Wow. This may change the way you pray, but that's okay. You'll start seeing some more miracles. You're not any better than anybody else. You're a Christian. You're a believer. All believers and Christians should be praying the name, saying the name. See, prayer is not just asking. Prayer can be commanding. Prayer can be demanding. Whatever we pray or command in Jesus' name. Woo. Y'all getting this? So, I think that's where we need to change if we want to see better results. I think we're trying to give God permission when all this time God is the one who gave us permission. And His hands are tied because we don't believe. I understand that. And He's waiting for us to get back in faith so He can move. But the way we get in faith is when we make our stand and we say what He said and we pray what He said to pray. See, this is what Jesus meant in the John the 14th chapter. John 14. Ooh, hallelujah. I love it. You want to take it to another level?
Yes.
When I say take it to level, we're just talking about just going on with God and going with this thing the way we ought to go with it. Now, you're not going to overcome people. You don't have power over people. You can't command, you know, people. That's not what we're saying. But you sure have authority over the devil.
Yeah.
Or else I'm not reading my Bible right. How about you? Hallelujah. Y'all getting this?
Yes.
Good stuff. And chew on it. If it's new to you, just go chew on it. Go look at it and ask yourself, you know, okay, I've been praying this way. Where in the Bible did they pray that way? And if you can find it in there, stick with it, stay with it. It's good stuff. But if you can't find that in the Bible, then you need to change over to praying the way the Bible says to pray. Isn't that right? If you find in there where they did pray that God would heal someone in Jesus' name instead of them saying, be healed in Jesus' name, well, go ahead and do it that way. But if you find in the Bible that they always said, be healed in Jesus' name, or command you to be healed, or rise up and walk, or receive your sight, then start changing your praying and start praying that way.
That's right. Amen.
When someone comes up to you and wants you to believe with them, that's what they're wanting you to do.
Yeah.
Woo! John 14, chapter. Oh, hallelujah. And quit trying to give God permission. Start doing what He gave you permission to do. That's like me telling Jonathan, you know, of course, Jonathan's not in the house now. He's growing up. That's what happens to kids. It's an amazing thing. The boy's getting married. It's not right. My baby's getting married. Anyway, when he lived in the house, I'd tell him to take out the trash. Well, he didn't come up to me and say, in the name of Jesus, I give you authority, Dad, to take out the trash. Come on, God. Daddy, take out the trash. No, I told you to take out the trash. Y'all catching this?
Yes.
But see, that's kind of what we do. A lot of our prayers that way. We're kind of waiting for God to do something, and yet He's the one who told us to do it. I love this one. Lord, just take these cigarettes away from me. What are you doing? I'm waiting for the Lord to take these cigarettes away from me. Lord, take this demon drink away from me. Oh, boy. Okay. I'm just preaching. Come on now, stay with me. I'm throwing stuff out here so we can relate. That's all. You know, and all this time God's saying, why don't you come against it in Jesus' name? Why don't you overcome it in the name of Jesus? Why don't you make a stand and say, in the name of Jesus, I am not going to be controlled by this. I will not be overcome by this. I'm going to live for God in the name of Jesus.
Amen.
Man, why I get so mad. I don't know why I get so, God help take His anger away from me. Why don't you come against that anger in the name of Jesus? Why don't you say, in the name of Jesus, I'm going to stop doing this. Hello? Man, last week she said, in the name of Jesus, I'm going to get the office at 8:25 every morning. And she didn't make it one day. Lied to God, lied to me. And all the people that hurt her. Well, she's going to keep working on it. That's all right. Okay. Wow, I got off the subject there. Anyway, but you know what I'm saying. Find out what God says and put the name of Jesus on it. And when you pray, pray the name of Jesus. He's authorized us. He told us to go lay hands on the sick in Jesus' name. He didn't say go ask for healing in Jesus. He said go lay hands on the sick in Jesus' name. And that's what we find them doing. Amen. John 14, let's close this out. John 14, verse 12, says, most assuredly, I say to you, Jesus speaking, he who believes on me, the works that I do, will he do also. And greater greater works than these shall he do, because I go to my Father. And whatever you ask, that word, that hangs us up sometimes, because the word ask in the Greek is a demand. It's not a request. He's not just saying, I request. He said, whatever you say or demand or declare in the name, in my name, I will do it through you, see? That the Father may be glorified in the Son. If you ask anything in my name, I'll do it. Wow. And you go in the book of Acts, which we just looked at a couple instances, 16th chapter and also 3rd chapter. What did they do? How did they use that name? Did they ask God to do something in Jesus' name, or they just demand it in Jesus' name? They just said it in Jesus' name. And Jesus did it through them. So, and they were just following in the footsteps of Jesus. They were doing what Jesus did, because that's the way he did it. He just said it in Jesus' name. You know, when we pray for people, you ought to just, you don't have to be, you know, you don't have to get into some theatrical voice about it and go into the King James Version. Thee, O thou, verily forsooth peradventure and hitherto. Just walk up to him and say, you need to be healed, okay, let's pray. In the name of Jesus, I just command healing to come into your body now in Jesus' name. I command, be healed in Jesus' name. That's what he said to do. I mean, that's exactly what he said to do. Doesn't make you a superhero. It just makes you obedient to the Word of God. That's all.
That's right.
And you'll see more miracles. Yeah. You will. If you do what you do and say what you say in Jesus' name. Man, I'm big on confessing the Word, finding the promises, and saying in the name of Jesus. God meets all my needs according to riches, glory in Christ. In the Jesus' name. I prosper in Jesus' name. I'm saved in the name of Jesus. I'll do this. I'll make it in Jesus' name.